Right. Hammer. Boy, Hammer. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, two for Tuesday.
Well, I hope the next one is that Adams Family song.
The Adams Family song rules. I hope it's too legit to quit.
I mean, that would be good, too.
815 area code requested for Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, I was going to say.
I mean, it is.
It is, right. Two for Tuesday, little Hammer, little MC Hammer. I like Hammer. I felt bad when he went broke. You know why Hammer went broke? Because he put his entire family and every one of his friends on his payroll.
I know, he was too nice.
He was, man. He was like the most generous dude in the world.
He wasn't thinking like a rich person.
Nope.
Rich people are so cheap.
He was like, some of my best friends don't have jobs, and I'm going to give them jobs, which is a really nice thing. I like Hammer. Where's Hammer now?
You know what? When was that reality TV show? With
Surreal
Hammer?
Life? He was in one of those, wasn't
okay,
he?
Okay, that hometown where that show, where he was living, is in the town where I grew up in California. It's a little town outside San Francisco, Tracy. That's where that was filmed. It was
really,
yeah,
Yeah,
but right outside Oakland area. Yeah.
Hammer was, you know, where he got his nickname, right? How the people started calling him Hammer because he was a bat boy with the Braves.
Oh, that's right.
When Hank Aaron was playing, and he looks like Hank Aaron, like they called him like Little Hammer because he looked like Hank Aaron because Hank Aaron was Hammer and Hank Aaron was his nickname. So that's how he got the name Hammer, because he was a bat boy with the Braves, and he looked like Hank Aaron.
I did know that. I forgot that, yeah.
Apparently Hammer's been hanging out with Dave Chappelle, and
that's a new reality TV show.
Chris Tucker. Golden State Warrior games.
Oh, they must be happy.
And he's wearing two big old chains, so I think he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's Hammer. He'll be fine. Hanging out with Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Like, shut up. His performance in The Fifth Element, one of the most annoying performances in film history.
I love that movie.
Oh, I hate every frame of that movie. And Gary Oldman, what in God's name is happening there?
No clue.
Terrible movie. Luc Besson. How that French dude continues to make movies. He wrote Tooken, so I'll give him that. Luc Besson. He also did that damn Professional movie, which that is the most embarrassing Gary Oldman performance of all time in The Professional. You guys have seen Everyone! Have you seen that on?
Yeah. No, that one. I've seen that multiple times.
And that clip is like, you can find that in so many different forms online. Just him screaming, "Everyone!" Did Gary Oldman ever make an album? He should have. That's my segue, Dan.
It's very impressive.
Thank you very much. I'm a professional broadcaster. All right. Celebrities that you never knew had albums. Esmeralda, were you aware that Joe Pesci recorded an album?
Yes.
I was too. And in fact, I believe I have it at home.
It's all standards, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's called Vincent LaGuardia Gambini Sings Just For You. Hey, remember the part in Jersey Boys where Joe Pesci shows up? As the movie and the musical suggest, Pesci was an instrument in the formation of the Four Seasons. He was also a talented musician himself, playing guitar in Joey D and the Starlighters. They released cover albums called Little Joe Sure Can Sing, and he recorded that under the name Joe Ritchie. So it's not surprising that post-Goodfellas, the former lounge singer dipped his toe back into the music biz after a concept album where he plays my cousin Vinny's the character. And there is also a rap song. So Vincent LaGuardia Gambini, Vincent Gambini is the guy he plays in My Cousin Vinny. Oh, yeah, you blend. That's another one of those remote droppers, man. Absolutely. Dan, do you watch like my cousin Vinny? Is that it's a remote dropper for me.
It was on a week ago on I forget what channel, but it was right at the interrogation scene with Marissa Tomei. And...
it's so good. So good. Esmeralda, is that a regular for you, my cousin Vinny?
Yeah, the times I've seen it.
That is,
or the times it's been on, I'll sit there and I'll watch.
I love it. I love it. I've seen it 80 million times. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Marissa Tomei didn't deserve the Academy Award. Yes, she did. She's brilliant in that movie. It's a great comedic performance. And you know, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know who else rules in it?
Who?
Fred Gwynn.
Oh, the judge.
Oh, he's the king of the universe, yes. Fred Gwynn.
I always say two utes.
Yeah. It's classic. Are you mocking me with that outfit? Fred Gwynn was a national treasure. From the Munsters on, man, Pet Sematary, Cotton Club, Fred Gwynn was the king of the universe. All right, you ready to hear a song from the Joe Pesci album?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear it. Is this the rap song, Dan?
No, it is not.
Okay. Here we go. This is from Vincent LaGuardia Gambini sings Just For You. Joe Pesci.
My heart says go, my head says no, it's best to stay away. But if I appear, I'm sure to hear all those say.
Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, it ain't that long, you must remember me. Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. By the way, this is all in preparation for Kiefer Sutherland's country album, which is coming out later this year. I hope it's a double album. Hope it's a concept album. All right, next on the list, Randy Macho Man Savage recorded an album called Be a Man. I'm assuming that that a few that are on the list, Dan, I would assume that Rick Geezer has them.
Yes.
I know that one of them, in fact, we just played, because there's a Muhammad Ali one on here. It was Muhammad Ali and his gang fight tooth decay, and we played some of that from the last time that Rick was here. All right, anyway, Randy Macho Man Savage, after years of asking you to snap into a Slim Jim, the elbow-dropping wrestler demanded that you snap into his rap album, a collection of tough-talking anthems, Hulk Hogan diss tracks, and a surprisingly poignant and absurd tribute to his late friend Kurt Hennig. Randy Macho Man Savage, Be a Man. Here we go.
Come on, that phony fight the rock, make you fast. But when I challenge him to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood hooked up, you're at the end of your rope. And I'm going to kick you in the butt and wash your mouth, I will show. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from a macho, that's what I heard. Be a man, Hulk. Yeah. Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a Hulk.
Is that DMX on there, too?
I don't know. What is it? Y'all going to make me lose my mind up in here.
I was going to say, you sounded very DMX, and then that whoever was doing the chorus sounded like DMX.
This is pre-DMX, would be my guess. But I love it. Be a man, Hogan. Oh, man. Randy Savage was awesome, man. He was one of the best. He was one of the best wrestlers of all time. Fantastic. He was a lunatic too. So now we've heard this one before. Leonard Nimoy released an album called Two Sides of Leonard Nimoy. His first album was a full Spock record. Then later he ditched the sci-fi gimmick for country covers and original compositions. And it also features this classic. Leonard Nimoy, really just telling the story of the Hobbit.
Now he's back in his home in the land of Shire, that brave little Hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his Hobbit. Oh, Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the brave
That's a jam. That song's a jam.
I like the video it's just a bunch of girls in like little mini skirts.
Right. Well, did they have a year on this one? Late 60s, I would imagine, right? It's got to be like 68, 69, something like that. The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins by Leonard Nimoy. That song's a jam. Oh, man. Okay, celebrities with albums you never knew existed. Now that one I knew of. That's because it's got like a whole like cult following.
Released in July of 1967.
The 67. Okay, that explains why the ladies are all hopping around in little mini skirts. So, all right. Hey, by the way, if you have any bad celebrity albums and you would like to talk to us about them or text to us about them, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We will continue with bad celebrity music albums coming up. And then also we're going to be taking a quiz that Dan is going to give to me and Esmeralda about identifying the artists just by the name of their first number one hit. That's right. He's too legit to quit. MC Hammer on Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, too legit to quit. Two for Tuesday, too legit. Now, I remember when that album came out. What the hell was the name of that album? It was called Too Legit to Quit, I think. Was the album called Too Legit to Quit? It also had the Addams Family song on there, I think.
Yes, that was also the name of the album.
I remember when he toured for that album. That was when he was at the height of people on his payroll. Because there were like 65 dancers on stage with him. There was pyro and all over the place. The stage was like 80,000 feet tall. It was ridiculous. Hammer in his pants. So, all right. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah. All right, albums by celebrities that you don't even want to hear. You ready for the next one, Esmeralda?
Yes.
Steven Seagal.
Oh, gosh. I think I've heard some of it, but I blocked it out.
The album is called Songs from the Crystal Cave. Hey, by the way, did you ever watch the reality show where he was like a cop?
I watched some of it.
What was the name of that show?
I don't remember. It was in Florida, right?
No, Louisiana. I think it was Louisiana. Oh, okay. I think it was outside of New Orleans. But he was like, it was hilarious. It was completely hilarious.
Steven Seagal, Lawman.
That's right. It was called Lawman. And what was it in Louisiana, Dan?
Yes, Jefferson Parish.
That's the best.
Move to Maricopa County, Arizona for season 3.
Oh. All right.
Oh.
It says here, the album cover is pretty ridiculous. The vaguely Tolkien-ish title, his beaded bracelets and blue pinky ring, his "Hey girl, I was in the Glimmer Man" eyes, and the way the guitar is angled like he might break it in half at any moment and stab you with it. The most ridiculous thing about this album, Stevie Wonder played harmonica on it. Apparently they're friends. Good Lord. Okay, Songs from the Crystal Cave. Dan, have you seen the album cover? Because
I have.
Is it ridiculous?
It's pretty special.
All right. All right, here is Steven Seagal. This song is called My God.
When I'm Muslim, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Hindu, Catholic, and Jew. Everything you fear in me is all a part of you. Well, if there's something you believe in, if there's something that you got to say, don't let the bullets breach for you to facilitate your way. Well, beat me with your doctrine, convert me if you can, deliver me from the guilt, but lead me with the sin.
Oh, man. Listen, seriously, who bought that? Who would go, hey, I got to get the new Steven Seagal album. Did that sell a copy? Did one copy get sold of that album? Somebody actually said and voluntarily gave their hard-earned money to buy a Steven Seagal album.
I mean, I'm sure Steven Seagal bought one.
Yes, I'm sure he bought a bunch. Gave them out as gifts. All right, now this next one's not bad. I got to say it's not bad. And I remember hearing about it going, what? Oh. So, Scarlett Johansson released an album of Tom Waits covers. Now, when I heard this, I was like, no, no. And I love Scarlett Johansson. She makes me fall off furniture. I love her. The album is called Anywhere I Lay My Head. And I was like, no. But then I heard some of it, and I was like, oh. So she's not bad. It says here, the Ghost World favorite turned Black Widow. Hey, remember when Ghost World came out? And, well, what the hell? And I totally forgot her name from American Beauty. Who was the other star of Ghost World?
Thora Birch.
Thora Birch. Remember when she was like the big star? And Scarlett Johansson was like kind of a nobody? She was the kid from The Horse Whisperer? And then, yeah, Thora Birch was like, now where's Thora Birch? What's going on with Thora Birch? She's with Hammer and Chris Tucker hanging out on the set of The Fifth Element. So it says, the Ghost World favorite turned Black Widow blockbuster star teamed up for a collection of Tom Waits covers produced by TV on the Radio's David Sitek, and they're not bad. If you didn't know the voice of the Her robot was singing to you, you might assume the artist has a career of playing early AM sets at all major festivals ahead of her. Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit of it. This is Scarlett Johansson with Falling Down.
When you give a man love, he must fall in the sea, and she wants you to steal and get caught. For she loves you for all that you're not. Falling down, falling down.
Yeah, that was it's actually not bad. You can kind of hear that it's, you know, that it's her, obviously. So, all right, Scarlett Johansson, Anywhere I Lay My Head from 2008. So it wasn't too bad. All right, how about the next one, Mr. T, everybody? And it's the album is called Mr. T's Commandments.
Is each song a commandment?
I gotta say no, I don't think so, but...
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
That's right. Mr. T's commandments. Mr. T is the perfect Mohawk sporting role model here, doling out essential life lessons on tracks like Don't Talk to Strangers, No Dope, No Drugs, and you gotta go through it. Mr. T. Hey, have you guys seen the Key and Peele Mr. T sketch? Dan, you've seen it?
It's pretty great.
Have you seen Esmeralda?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
And I think part of that sketch is based upon the album cover, because, yeah, the album cover of this is him and
like a schoolyard.
Yeah, like some kids.
Here's the deal. It's a takeoff. It's Jordan. Jordan Peele is playing Mr. T. And it's shot like it looks like it's shot on videotape. Like they took a piece of this video of him where he's like teaching lessons to kids. It's phenomenal. Just, you know, if you get a chance, just Google Key and Peele Mr. T sketch. It's ridiculous. It's hilarious. All right, we'll hear some Mr. T. That doesn't keep you tuned into this radio station, we're going to play a little Mr. T. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and then at 6 o'clock, our good friend, the great, the one, the only, Steve Cochran. That was 2 for Tuesday. 708 requested a little Chris Isaak. And now, was that requested because of the... because we had pop... a video question about that video, I wonder. Esmeralda, you remember when we had that crazy?
Yeah, I think I had to sing it.
You did, yes, that's right. You had to sing the Chris Isaak. song. Yeah. All right. Okay, so we're back, and we're going to take another quiz. It's not the pop. We'll do another pop-up video thing in a few days as well. But we are talking about 17 celebrities with albums that you never knew existed. And this is in preparation of the upcoming fantastic country album by Kiefer Sutherland, which will be released. So we're playing some music from some celebrities that shouldn't have made albums. We've heard from Joe Pesci. We've heard from Randy Macho Man Savage, Leonard Nimoy, the great Steven Seagal. And now, of course, we want to hear from...
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
It's never personal when he's pitying fools. Never. All right. Mr. T released an album called Mr. T's Commandments. And here is a little bit of You Gotta Go Through It.
Everybody stand up.
Why?
Because you gotta go through it. If you wanna get to it, are you willing to try? Everybody stand up.
Why?
Because you gotta go through it. If you wanna get to it, are you willing to try?
Yeah! I like it.
It's from 1984, shockingly. Oh, man. You gotta go through it!
I mean, isn't that true?
Yeah, you do. You gotta stand up. Why? Because you gotta go through it.
Words to live by.
Well, it's part of the commandments, of Mr. T's commandments. Listen...
All right. Can you imagine Andrea at her gym and Mr. T's on the treadmill next to her and she just starts humming that and you see what he does?
Yeah, because Andrea lives in the same building with Mr. T.
What?
Yeah, they're roommates.
Oh, he doesn't live in that house where they were yelling
no,
at him.
No, that's in Lake Forest. You know why?
Throw away the garbage.
Because that area is no longer a forest because of him.
Oh.
Because remember, he moved to a place called Lake Forest, didn't like the trees, and had them chopped down. Don't move to a place called Lake Forest, Mr. T.
He had to get through them.
Yeah, he did. Yes, you know, Andrea is always talking about, oh, yeah, I saw Mr. T in the building. Can you imagine him just doing laundry, Mr. T?
See, that's crazy because a friend of mine is obsessed with Mr. T, and she lives in L.A. She says she sees him all the time.
Oh, he lives here.
So maybe he goes back and forth. What's he doing in L.A. now? I'm wondering.
Knows? He's good, and he's getting through it.
I do that same friend, oddly enough, her high school boyfriend, that guy, his dad worked with Mr. T's brother at Statesville Penitentiary as a guard.
Oh, yeah. Was he Mr. S? What? One of my favorite Mr. T stories is my friend Mike View was driving down Michigan Avenue. And they got to a stoplight, and I can't remember what intersection. It might have been Chicago, wherever it was, you know. And he's at the intersection on Michigan Avenue. He's at the stoplight. It's a nice summer day. And he sees people crossing the street, and they start kind of cheering and pointing and waving. And he looks over to see where that is. And two lanes over is Mr. T. All right? People are waving. He's waving back. He's in a Rolls-Royce convertible, waving at everybody. He's in there, full on Mr. T, mohawk, chains, feathers, earrings, the whole thing. And hanging from his rearview mirror is a Mr. T air freshener. And my friend Mike goes, see, that is the definition of success right there. That is an American success story. When you are sitting in the middle of Michigan Avenue and every single person crossing the street loves you and waves at you, calls out your name, you're in a Rolls Royce with the top down, and you have an air freshener of you hanging from your rearview mirror. The definition of the American success story is that image. Because he had to get through it. All right. Next on the list, Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. released an album in 2004 called The Futurist. With adult contemporary ballads like Man Like Me and some jazzy flourishes, the album from the multi-talented actor got decent reviews. All Music wrote, think Bruce Springsteen doing a cabaret night. This was before his big comeback in 2008. I think when this was released, I think he was doing really well on Ally McBeal. I think that was at the time when he joined the cast of Ally McBeal and was having like the first step of his comeback after the horrible stuff that he went through in the 90s. So here's Robert Downey Jr.
So when I ask if you won't give me your hand, I take it right now from your mother's side of town.
Wow.
What was that?
That was Man Like Me by Robert Downey Jr.
Right, but like, is that country or?
That seemed to be like contemporary AC.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had quite an accent.
Sound like Springsteen, didn't he, a little bit?
No, it was just, he was emphasizing some words.
Well, you know.
Funny.
Maybe he learned from James Spader from the movie Tough Turf that they were in together. Because James Spader performed the classic I Walk the Night from Tough Turf, which co-starred Robert Downey Jr. Do you remember Tough Turf?
I do not remember Tough Turf.
T-U-F-F. Tough Turf.
Tough Turf.
Yeah.
No.
And the beautiful song that James Spader's character sings to Kim Richards from Hello, Larry. Kim Richards is the female lead in it. I Walk the Night. Here.
Dance.
Fighting the darkness that breaks our hearts, we hold each other tight. I walk the night. I walk the night.
See, what you have to picture is James Spader lip syncing this at a piano. And he's got to have like really bad 80s clothes on, right, Dan? I mean, it's like a.
It's the standard white shirt. It's Kim that's really got she's got the feather from her ear.
Oh, yeah, and the crimped hair, really long crimped hair. Yeah. Tough Turf, man.
We'll post the video.
Please post the video. It is spectacular.
I kind of hear it.
I walk the night.
Yeah, I kind of can hear the.
Can you hear the inspiration that he got
right.
from I Walk the Night?
Yes.
That was Robert Downey Jr. got all his inspiration for that album from I Walk the Night from Tough Turf. My friends and I, when that movie came out in 1985, my friends and I went to go see it, and we sang I Walk the Night for months afterwards. I'm telling you, it's absolutely hilarious. James Spader shows up he's new in school, and the punks, the tough guys, including Kim Richards, she's hanging with the biggest tough guy in the school. He's not welcome. He's an outsider. So, of course, to win everybody over at the party, he sings that song. And everybody's like, man, this guy's amazing. Did you hear I Walk the Night? We don't have to beat this guy up anymore because he walks the night.
Now, in the movie,
yeah.
Is it assumed that this is an original song that he just
started singing?
Oh, yeah.
He just comes up and just blows everybody away, including Kim Richards and her hair. I Walk the Night, man. I'm telling you, we'd walk around going, I walk the night, for like months after we saw the movie. It is a horrendous movie. It is hysterical. It's a hilarious movie. And that, by the way, that little voice that you heard, care to dance, that's Robert Downey. That's Robert Downey Jr. going, would you care to dance? At the beginning of the clip there. You got to see Tough Turf, man. It is one of the quintessential terrible 80s movies, 80s teen punk movies. Spader. He walks the night, man. So, all right, we have to break here. I think we're only going to do one or two more of these, so I'll save some of them so that we can do that quiz that I want to do. We got a couple of more celebrities here that we're going to get to who should have not made albums.
I want you to
yeah.
I love you to love me.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. That was Chris. Chris it was Chris Isaak covering "I Want You to Want Me." I forgot that he did that. Thank you for reminding me. 708. Okay. Chris Isaak. Whatever happened to him? I used to get him confused. You know who I used to get? I used to get him and Harry Connick confused all the time. I don't know why. I used to get them confused all the time. So, all right, there you go. He covered "I Want You to Want Me." I hope you're happy about that. All right, let's get back into some of these celebrity bad celebrity albums, and then after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda, we're gonna take that number one, name the artist by the number one hit test. All right,
Chris yeah. Isaak Chris is now one of the judges on X Factor Australia.
See, to confuse him with Harry Connick even more, because Harry Connick is on American Idol.
He replaced Redfoo of LMFAO.
Wait a minute. Those guys actually...
They're grasping for straws out there in
those
Australia.
Those guys actually talk? The guys in LMFO?
The other panelist was James Blunt.
James Blunt?
Yeah, that is he the beautiful one?
Yeah.
Beautiful song?
You're beautiful. Yeah.
Well, good for him. He's got work.
LMFO, those guys, was that what are they called again? What are they?
LMFAO.
LMFAO. Oh, okay, because that's what you're laughing that off. Okay. Didn't they do that song with it? We're going to party all day or whatever. It's like, and Key and Peele did like a, they did a satire of those guys too. Not just, you know, the Mr. T bit comes up, but now this IMFAO Schwartz, they did a bit where the party kept going, like the party wouldn't stop.
Key and Peele's parody is Nonstop Party.
Nonstop Party. That, again, is brilliant, because it's Key and Peele. Everything Key and Peele does is brilliant.
Oh!
Like, just like that.
Oh!
Exactly. 708 area code, bad celebrity albums, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Daisy, and Goofy. Just horrible. Wow. Coming down hard on beloved animated characters this morning. Robert says Joey Lawrence made an album. What was his catchphrase?
Whoa.
Oh, that's right. Not oh?
Oh.
Whoa.
Also, not sure if this qualified, but Rico Suave... He was an actor in Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, but...
That's Gerardo. His name's not Rico Suave. Yeah, that guy, Rico Suave. Gerardo was in Can't Buy Me Love? I don't even remember that. Here's what I remember about Can't Buy Me Love. When I saw that movie, I kept thinking, you know, when I was in high school and I was 17, the girls did not look like this. That's the only thing I remember from Can't Buy Me Love. I was like, there's no way that these girls are 17 years old. There's no way, because the girls when I went to high school did not look like this. That, and I remember wanting to punch Patrick Dempsey in the lips. 872 area code, William Shatner singing Rocket Man. Well, he doesn't really sing it. He kind of Shatners it. He kind of recites it. Jay says, Sally Field recorded an album about the Flying Nun. What? It made the Billboard charts in 68 or 69 with a song called Felicidad, which means happiness. What? There was a Flying Nun album and I didn't have it when I was a kid? You guys are way too young to appreciate the genius of the Flying Nun. Esmeralda, have you ever watched the Flying Nun reruns?
I've watched some of it and I've looked into the Wikipedia.
It is.
Because I've been curious. How does she fly?
Because of her habit.
Right. It's the wind or something. It picks her up.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, and I loved that show when I was a kid. I loved The Flying Nun. It was the most ridiculous idea for a TV show of all time. I got an idea. We're going to have a nun that flies. And there'll be a swarthy romantic interest for the nun.
Even though she's a nun.
And I believe he was a priest. Was he a priest? Dan, I keep forgetting. The guy who was in The Flying Nun, I always forget his name too. Fernando something. I think it was Fernando. I can't remember, but he was swarthy. He was a sexy, swarthy gentleman who was the love interest for the Flying Nun. That's the only thing. And I used to love the show. When I was like 5 years old, the show was like five, and I'd be like, Flying Nun, Flying Nun.
Fernando is not listed here on Wikipedia. The two main stars, according to this, were Captain Gaspar Fomento, the local police officer and the only character who never found out about Sally Field's ability to fly.
Do they have the actor's name?
Vito Scotti.
That's not him.
And then the other guy is Carlos Ramirez, a local casino owner and playboy.
That's him. That's him. What's his name?
Alejandro Rey.
That's it. Alejandro Rey. Alejandro Rey.
So he wasn't a priest.
He wasn't a priest. He was a casino. He was a casino owner who was the love interest for a nun who could fly. That was the kind of crap that you saw on TV in the late 60s. I'd sit in front of the TV. I had a huge crush on Sally Field when she was a flying nun. I thought she was adorable. And Gidget, too. But it was a flying nun when I was like five when that show was on. Alejandro Rey running around being all swarthy. That's stupid. Okay, now this next one is, I believe, maybe the most ridiculous of all of them on this list, Dan. And it sold. Like, this album sold. Like, this... In 87, when this was released, this thing sold. Bruce Willis, The Return of Bruno. Now, you guys don't remember this. You're too young, right? Do anybody have any memories of Bruce Willis with harmonicas being Bruno?
I don't remember it as, you know, just seeing it. I saw something where they were talking about it.
Yeah, didn't he play like the Hollywood, what was that restaurant?
Every opening of Planet Hollywood he played. Including here in Chicago.
Are those all gone now?
Yes. Oh. I think. Oh, yeah. I dated a girl who waitressed there. So I spent a significant amount of time at Planet Hollywood drinking for free. So I hung out there a lot. But anyway, this is the worst. I got to say, this is the worst. This whole Bruno, Bruce Willis thing. It's a bunch of covers. Respect Yourself, Under the Boardwalk, Secret Agent Man. And this is when he was like, yeah, I'm Bruce Willis. I can do anything. I'm John McClane. So I can do anything I want, including playing harmonica and singing. No, sorry, Bruce, you can't. So here's a little example of this. Oh, respect yourself. Embarrassing. That is so awful. And it was ubiquitous in the late 80s. Like, he was everywhere.
By the way, there's still six Planet Hollywood still open.
Are there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Casino in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a huge casino. What am I talking about?
And there's a Disneyland Paris location.
Wow. Okay. One thing I remember about the one down here was that at one of the tables where you sit down to eat, one of the little pieces of memorabilia on the wall at my favorite table, the table that I always sat at whenever I ate there, right in your eye view was the ear from Blue Velvet framed. Like, the and I was like, this is the greatest piece of memorabilia to be hanging in a restaurant ever. Like, people are eating their Goldfinger, you know, hamburgers, and there's a severed ear hanging on the wall. It was awesome. All right. We got a break. The news is coming up next. Then we're going to take this quiz about identifying artists via their number one hits.